Welcome to the City of Ocean City Zoning Board, April 15, 2026, regular meeting. This meeting has been advertised pursuant to PL Chapter 231, also known as the Open Public Meetings Act. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you have any electronic devices, please turn them off or silence them now. Roll call, Mr. Becker.
Present.
Mr. Buck.
Present.
Mr. DeMarco.
Here.
Mr. Gallagher.
Present.
Mr. Geary. Mr. Loeb.
Here.
Mr. Price.
Here.
Mrs. Snyder.
Here.
Mr. Waddell. Under Secretary's reports, may I have a motion to adopt the March 18, 26 minutes? Second? All in favor? Any opposed? May I have a motion to adopt resolution ZBA25-017 Caruso? Second? Roll call, Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
May I have a motion to adopt resolution ZBA25-019 Ocean City Development? Second? Roll call, Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
May I have a motion to adopt resolution ZBA25-018 RODAC? Second? Roll call, Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher? I'm actually going to turn the meeting over to Mr. Manis to swear in Mr. Becker.
All right, Mr. Becker, you stand up, raise your right hand, and say aye. You say your name and repeat after me. I, Robert Becker.
I, Robert Becker.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear and affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the United States.
Over to the chair, Mr. Buck.
Are we starting with boardwalk?
Yes.
ZBA 25016.
Good evening, board. Hope everyone's good today. My name is John Battistini from the law firm of Gary Battistini on behalf of the applicant 1168 Boardwalk LLC. This is an application for D2 variance for expansion of a non-conforming use. There's no new use with respect to the non-conforming use, but this is just a continuation and a reasonable expansion of a long-standing mixed-use property. At this point, I'd like to have Mr. Paul Lelchuk, who is a principal for 1168, come up. And if he could be sworn in, and actually also have with us Chris Halliday, who's been before this board many times.
Can you just give me your name and address or business address for the record?
1168 Boardwalk, Ocean City.
Chris Halliday, 728 West Ave.
If you can each please raise your right hand, each swear from the testimony you'll give this evening to be the truth. Mr. Halliday, registered architect, state of New Jersey, will accept his credentials. And just very briefly for the record, I don't think we have to harp too long on this. The board is likely aware this application was before the board in the fall of 2025. It was denied. They have come back, and there's a doctrine called res judicata. And Mr. Stein looked at it. I looked at it. what the doctrine basically says is you don't get two bites at the apple. If you bring an identical or substantially the same application that was previously denied, the board can't hear it. Mr. Stein looked at it. Again, I looked at it. This, in my opinion, the second application is certainly different. They've eliminated a D1 variance. They were going to do some below bulkhead bike and Surrey storage that I don't believe is part of this application. In my opinion, this can go forward unless the board sees any need to have any further discussion, but I did want to put that on the record.
The board does not. Thank you.
Mr. Lovejohn, can you just tell us what's your position with Route 68 Boardwalk and Chili's in itself?
I'm a partner of one of the owners. My wife and I own 1168 Boardwalk in New York City. We started Chili's approximately 50 years ago. We're in our 51st season. We've completed 50 years here. We came in back in 1976 when we used to purchase casino and brought them out. I wanted to name a pause, but there was a pause fun kid already on the boardwalk, so it became Chili's. And that's how we got to the name, and here we are.
There are pictures of my approach, Mr. Chairman. These are handouts. These are pictures that are also on the board that's in front of you. If we could mark them A1.
A1 series of photographs. Is that one of the best?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Don't lick your fingers.
Yeah,
don't. So these color versions are the same?
Yeah, these are color versions of the same as what's on the board, and then there's two renderings that may or not.
That are okay.
Yeah, on the boards as well, just like.
But not yet.
Not yet.
All right, so let me hold on to these.
Great.
Thank you. All right, thanks.
Mr. Lovejohn, you can see there's a series of pictures that are over here and as well as in front of you. Can you just kind of go through the pictures? I'm going to start with page one. This looks like it's the underneath of maybe the skeet bowl. This is where you store things because you don't have proper storage now?
That's correct.
And the building that you're going to be putting, if you look at the second picture on page one, it's going to cover up kind of that big blank wall with some architectural designs. It's kind of a beautiful building in front.
Actually, up to the first air conditioner, if you look closely.
The next picture, which is on page two, this is where your gentleman works who fixes your machines, is that correct?
Yes, we're fixing approximately 100 some odd machines out of a very small shop.
And it looks pretty cramped. And the next picture, page three, is just a continuation of, you know, the space, the lack of space that you're dealing with.
It's the same space we've had since 1976.
Now, if you go to page four, there's a little office there. It's got an old tube, CRT tube TV or something up in front of it. Is that your office?
It is.
A little cramped, right?
Quite. 6x6, maybe.
And you're going to use the third floor of the new place as part of your office, correct?
I'm going to be able to have a place to meet with my team.
And also, does somebody else share this space with you in this particular picture?
My wife and my boys.
And there's not a lot of space at all?
Oh, we wrestle a lot over it.
Okay. The next page is also just another shot of the office, is that correct?
Yes, that's the other side.
And there is a another page when you flip it, and you'll see orange boxes. It looks like you got a little heater because it gets cold there. Tell us what this picture represents.
That's our parts department. We have no room for all of our parts to be able to be used.
And then the next picture is just a storage of materials, boxes all over the place. Looks like there's even some liquids that are on the bottom corner. It's reminiscent of what you have and deal with almost daily?
Pretty much. Plus, we're also wrestling space back there for our ice cream stands up front.
And so, but in your own terms, you get an undersized spot and you're just looking to provide reasonable space to do work where your mechanic is and have office space on the third floor.
That's correct. I mean, we've been there for 50 years operating out of the same amount of space, and everything has changed dramatically over the years. The size of the price of the prizes, the technology that we have to fix the games and be able to operate. Plus, we do a lot of birthday parties and fundraisers in the city of Ocean City, which we need the space to be able to operate that also.
And there is a mixed use at this point. You have residential. This is where you live when you come up from the shore?
Yes.
And there's two units up there. Is one vacant?
Well, pretty much. Only when family comes in, they stay there. My dad used to live there, but he passed.
And this third floor space is by no means residential.
Not at all. No desire.
There is a balcony that's off to the side. It's not the balcony that one would use typically. If you're going to build a residential home, you probably pay that towards the water. Is that correct?
Well, we did it for aesthetics. And because when I'm sitting in my new office, instead of it 6x6, I want to be able to go out and enjoy it, open the windows. We were just down at the police station yesterday, and they have three balconies. So I'm thinking, we're doing a pretty good idea. We're copying them. Or they copied our idea.
And if the board wanted to, you have no problems deed-restricting that it's not to be used as residential on the third floor?
Correct. No desire. Both my boys have good houses in town and are part of the community here, as most people know. And we're fine with Jill and I up there. And when my family comes to visit, it's nice to have it in my dad's place.
And none of this space is being used for, like, more games where you're going to have more clientele or customers come in. This is strictly the back of the house storage and office space.
And we're desperate in need of it. I mean, 50 years in the same little area is tough.
At this point, I have no further questions for Mr. Lovechuck. If the board has any, you want to wait until later?
Not at this time.
At this point, you're expecting no intensity in the use because you're not using it in the floor area for any type of games or uses, correct?
Correct.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you.
At this point, I'd like to have Mr. Chris Halliday come up. Chris, can you give us a brief description of the project?
Sure. The Lovechucks came to me in 2025 to assist with designing an addition to their existing arcade ice cream shop to help with their storage and managerial needs. The addition has a ground floor, a first floor, a second floor. As you can see on the plans, ground floor is owner parking. There's three covered bays and a garage with independent access to a lift area that goes up to that main storage space so that if machines do need repair, they can put it on the lift and send it up to that first floor, repair it, and then send it back down for the arcade. The first level is also meant for storage. The second floor is just general office space. There are Paul and Jillian Lovechuck, as well as his sons and their wives, all work in the space, as well as the manager and support staff. So they're just thinking open bullpen cubicles so that everybody's on the same page for ordering and running the business.
And there's absolutely no increase in the residential, which is the only non-conforming portion of this property.
That's correct.
The building itself, the building is completely conforming.
It's completely conforming. There's no additional variances. It's actually, the building coverage is 5,970 square foot, less than what's allowed on the site. They have 12 parking spaces, more than what's required on the site. It's an undersized building for this site, but they use it, and it's full in the summer. I think everybody's probably been to Jilly's, whether it was a kid's birthday party or just going in to play billiards or games. Obviously, a big part of the reason for this addition is that the arcade business has changed. Everybody has a screen in their pocket now. It's difficult to get pay-to-play games to make a sensible business. So now you're doing pay-to-play games, but you're providing prizes. And I know for my own son, when he goes up to Jilly's, he goes right to that DC game that hands out cards every time you win or play. And that's kind of the model that Jilly's is taking forward, so that you play a game, you get a prize. You play a game, you get a prize. And what does that mean? It means that we require more stock. So that's the reason for this addition. That whole first floor, which is 1,500 square feet, is going to be stock and repairs. Right now, they have basically the Amazon trucks coming multiple times a day to drop off supplies. So rather than having that constant flow of traffic, they're hoping to do large deliveries, go into the garage, send it on the lift into their stock area, which will reduce traffic in the summertime, less trucks going up and down the streets, will help with pedestrian and safety. And we all know anywhere within one block of the boardwalk, especially in the summer, is congested.
We're parking compliant. We only parking spaces.
We're parking compliant. They have four residential spaces, which is what is required for the two units. This residential unit was approved in 1983. It's been there for 43 years. We're not changing it. Our addition is 8 feet from that residential unit. It's in the back. We're not trying to touch that. There are 26 residential units on boardwalk zone. That just came up during the boardwalk subcommittee's presentation. So we're not, it's unique to have this residential use on the boardwalk, which is why we're here. That's the only reason why we're here, that we have an existing non-conforming use. We're not touching it, but it requires us to ask for permission to expand the building.
Otherwise, we'd be in the planning board for just site plan, preliminary and final.
Exactly.
And the requirement under any D2 expansion requires both positive and negative. Could you tell us the purposes, starting with how this promotes the general welfare?
We've discussed multiple things. Right now, there is still, we're trying to improve a business that's been there for a long time and make sure that they can age gracefully. Right now, the boardwalk does not, there's a maintenance and improvement issue with a lot of the properties. So the Love Chefs are trying to enhance their building. We're hoping that this is, you know, phase one, add to the back. We tried to design an aesthetically pleasing coastal exterior for an office, which does have similar details as the police station, a substation that was built with the core bulletproof stainless steel metal roof, more commercial style windows because it is a commercial building, but James Hardy siding for durability that will match the color of the existing building, and then a brick base again for durability. So we're thinking about longevity and durability with the design, as well as trying to kind of hide that surf mall wall that was, you know, a theater at one point. So we think that this enhances it. This is the rendering kind of has a front and center, but it is about 50 feet from the street. So it's not right on the street front either. It's set back. You still allow for parking. They have valet parking in the summer here just because of the use. We're trying to improve the building. There's a security concern right now. They do not have truck service for armored trucks. So they just carry out bags of cash to their car. Using the garage, they can now park in the garage, put the funds in the garage, and drive it out in the vehicle rather than having to walk out back with you know, bags of quarters, essentially.
Something that they're heavy. Nobody's going to be running away fast. The next thing is in regard to the circulation pattern. Believe it or not, the purposes of zoning include making it better at traffic. Explain to us how this is going to be better for the general area where Jilly's.
We touched on the truck deliveries. I think that'll it'll be a significant improvement to reduce the amount of deliveries. Right now, there is you'll see in the cover sheet of the picture there, there's an existing storage pod that are used for some inventory. That will obviously go away, which will allow for additional parking if this project is approved. We're not reducing the amount of parking that's there. That's the main thing. We're just providing covered parking for the owner's use.
You think this is an efficient use of the land, which is paragraph G of the purposes for the municipal land use law?
Yeah, after talking to the Love Chefs, they rent additional storage off island for their games, for other areas. We want to bring that closer to their actual business so that they can function better. So it's just allowing for them to thrive as they move forward, which is what we want on the board.
And there's the promotion of a desirable environment. When you look at the building, that's going to kind of cover that blank wall. Can you tell us a little bit, bring us through the architectural features that you wanted to see in this project so that the building would fit in and not look stoic and, you know, industrial?
Sure. We didn't want it to feel like just a big box, which is a lot of times what storage and office buildings are because of just cost. So we tried to make it so that it would feel like it belonged in our Ocean City environment with our vernacular, with some of the details. So it has some residential-esque elements, but it is obviously commercial in use.
And there's also a pond, a storage pond that's on that the property that's used for storage. That goes, right?
Correct. Yep.
So that's going to enhance it so we're not looking at it on the side of the pond.
Correct.
Now, one of the other things that we have to do is speak of the negative criteria. Is there any substantial detriment to the neighborhood or the general welfare?
I don't think so. We're blocking that. I think this is more aesthetically pleasing than a big red wall, which is what the surf mall is. Although, you know, we've all been to the surf mall and enjoy it. We're just kind of screening that wall, allowing for the equal amount of parking, providing additional security. We're not expanding the residential use. We're providing that ground floor is designed so that there's a stair to the commercial use, and then there's access to the existing residential circulation. We're not expanding the existing residential circulation, just provides access. So the only reason we're here is because of those existing residential units, and we're not expanding them, so I don't see that there is a detriment. Everything is above flood. Everything is zoning compliant. We are below the bulk standards. We have, like I said before, we have 12 additional parking spaces. We're below on your building coverage.
So you don't see that there's an intensification of any type of the use. As a matter of fact, it would be less intense because you're actually having less deliveries.
Correct.
And it's reasonable, necessary improvement to the long-standing business that's been going on, correct?
Yeah, and family businesses are what Ocean City, a lot of the businesses are family-run businesses, and they're set up to now pass it on to their children, who hope to pass it on to their children, and they're evolving, like many boardwalk businesses have to. They're looking at what's next and what's in the future, and this space will help them evolve and stay in business for the next 50 years.
And you've had the opportunity to review Mr. Maffei's report?
I did, yes.
And we take any... We agreed everything that he's...
Correct, yes.
At this point, I have no further questions for Mr. Halliday. Or has any... Or no. Not here from here. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I marked that as A2. Rendering.
Mr. Maffei, if you would.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Chair. My report is dated October 29th to 25. As indicated, you're here seeking approval to construct a two-story addition to the existing building, which contains the non-conforming use. The existing building contains the two residential units, the arcade, the restaurant. The 28.67 by 52.33 two-story addition is proposed to contain ground floor space for parking, arcade, office entry, and residential entry. First floor space for storage, employee bathroom, mechanical room, and second floor for office, conference, farm room, and bathroom associated with the existing management staff. As indicated, the D2 variance is required for the expansion of non-conforming use. The site plan should also show the following. Parking space to be dedicated to the residential unit shall be properly marked or signage provided. The existing building does encroach into the 12th Street right-of-way by 0.3 feet. Existing roof overhang encroaches 1.7 into the boardwalk and 2 feet into the 12-foot right-of-way. The zoning chart should be updated. Existing building height above the boardwalk elevation shall also be clarified. Survey indicates ridge elevation 40.3 and the building elevation is 41.7. Again, just update the zoning chart accordingly. Update the chart to include the variance required for the expansion of non-conforming use. Number 6, just identify the arcade on the floor plan on the second sheet. Update the zoning chart, maximum building height above boardwalk, maximum stories above boardwalk, maximum building height above boardwalk with elevation with a 10-foot setback. The same with the number of stories above the boardwalk with elevation 10. Zoning chart is revised to provide the correct existing lot width. Of course, any outside agency approvals, no guarantees are required since no public improvements are required. That's it, Mr. Chair.
Does this need an encroachment license?
No, they've existed for so long.
Chris,
I don't even know if it's...
You two come together and get encroachment licenses. Not as part of this application, just have them in hand.
Okay. Yeah, none of the new building is encroaching. It's
right, all, like, just clear up the mess.
Okay.
On that end. Street trees?
No, none required, none removed.
At this point, I'll open it up to the board for questions.
Last time we talked about the bikes and stories were going to go underneath. Is that still
no longer part of the discussion?
No, that has nothing to do with this application.
Okay, so it's just garage. Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
No.
Mr. Lowe?
No questions.
Gallagher?
No questions.
Mr. Price?
No questions.
Mr. DeMarco?
No questions.
Thank you.
I have no questions myself. At this point, I'll open it up to the public. Anybody here wish to speak on this application? He beat you. Your second.
After you.
No, you go ahead.
Don't fight about it.
Give us your name and address. I have to swear in.
Good evening. I'm Henry Zabralka, 8 Franklin Drive, Summers Point, New Jersey.
Can you spell your last name, please?
Zepralka.
And it was 8 Franklin Drive in Summers Point?
Yes.
And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. My name is Henry Zepralka. I'm here as a 16-year employee of Chris and Wes Cashmore at 1154 Boardwalk, the Surf Mall. Lovechuck family has been our neighbors since the 1970s. Over the years, they've built and maintained an outstanding business and have become good friends. Great respect and dedication for their dedication and positive impact they've had on the community. We fully support the project they are seeking approval for this evening. The addition of office space and storage would be meaningful for their operations and help them to continue to succeed. See no issue with any type of blockage or impediment with the proposed addition. We respectfully ask that you consider their application and allow them to move forward with this project. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Scott Simpson from Playland at 10th and Boardwalk. I have no Paul.
Mr. Simpson, swear from the testimony you're about to give me the truth?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I've known the Lechuk family. Paul operates games in my arcade as well. And I've always been amazed how Paul's been able to operate his business. I'm not telling you it's a cubicle. It's about that big, and it's loaded with monitors, and there's no room to move in the room. And some of it's managed over the years. But anything that we have that going forward, the way just kind of like what John Battistini was saying, was that the games have transitioned to a point right now that people can play video games at home. So unless you enhance your place with large video games and giving prizes away for every time somebody participates in a game, it requires a lot of storage. And even when I just rebuilt my own building and I tried to figure out, I'll never use that up, well, now you can barely walk through the building because it's so full of inventory again. So you never have enough storage. And anything that you guys can do to help any of us up there on the boardwalk to operate better is always a big help. I understand that that's a non-conforming use because he had the apartment, but shy of having those non-conforming uses that's been there for probably 30 or 40 years, this would be a great help to him to run his business. I don't know how he's done it all the years that he has. So I'm hoping you guys see and help him out. So anything you can do to help the board out business with everything we have going on up there to try. But what's happened to us with minimum wage and everything else, if we don't continually evolve, we're all going to have this problem. So I'm a big fan of Paul being able to do this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mark Benevento, 1132 34 Boardwalk.
Mr. Benevento, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thanks.
I've been the Lovechuck's neighbors for well over 30 years. They're great neighbors and incredible operators on the Ocean City Boardwalk. They really do things right up there, and I think they need this to keep doing things right up there. So I'm full support of this application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jamie Ford, 2009 Simpson Avenue in Ocean City.
2009 Simpson. Jamie, what was your last name?
Ford.
Ford. Mr. Ford, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
45 years ago, I went to work for the Lechuk's at Chili's. It was my first boardwalk job. And it was 2 plywood garage doors at the time and a dirt parking lot in the back. And over the years, I just watched them continually improve their property. 30 years ago, I became a boardwalk merchant myself, and I'm still up there today at Barefoot Trading Company in the 1000 block. And I've watched arcade after arcade close, Rogers, Sims, Fun City USA, Aquaport at 34th Street. I'm amazed sometimes that they're even able to keep it going. This is going to sound a little hyperbolic, but they're an iconic Ocean City business with Mac and Manco, with Air Circus. I'm not maybe there yet, but we are short on amusements in a lot of ways, and we have had a tough few years up there, and anything we can do to help them to continue with what they do and being a part of people's vacation experience, 50 years, They were there before the bathrooms were at Toll Street. They were there when the boardwalk was crazy skinny in the 1200 block. And they survived it. And they just kept improving and improving and improving. I watched them carry those games into that little backspace. And it's amazing they've been able to go this long. So I really hope that you allow this to happen and let them continue to operate. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing none, I'll close it. Public. Chris, I got a question. Fire suppression?
It's a rehab code, so not required because we're not adding any residential. Obviously, we're going to comply with any requirements for the code. We also, accessibility-wise, we have equal accommodations, so like a commercial elevator is not required.
I can't require it, but can you guys at least talk about it?
Yeah, of course. And obviously, we want this building to be safe. Yeah.
Thank you. Summary? That's a no.
What about, are you guys going to consider deed restricting?
Yeah, but
just preliminary, final site plan approval.
I'm not sure. I don't see. I mean, if we're talking about this as a purely commercial application, I'm not sure.
He mentioned it, that's why. Deed restricting the third floor. Or was it the third floor? So
you'd have to deed restrict the entire thing for non-residential
for
use.
What did you say? About if you were.
We would deed restrict the office space that wouldn't be used as residential.
Obviously, there's no intention of using any of this as residential, so we're willing to be restricted if the board sees fit, but it's not a residential use. We're not intending to use it as residence. Okay. Right now, the third floor is the residential areas are deed restricted for family use only from 1983.
I guess we'll get a deed restriction on the commercial space, which would be the entirety of the commercial space.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll note that as a condition if it's approved. And Mr. Bastien, in the 1983 approval, there was something pertaining to the residential use. It's family use only. That's going to carry forward.
Yeah, that'll carry forward. And that deed restriction is already.
Oh, it's actually a deed restriction. It's not just in the resolution. Okay. So
we'll do another one for the commercial.
And then in terms of the encroachment license, what's your message to them? It's a condition
It's not nothing to do with this, but they should, while they're doing this exercise, clean that up. That's for their own good, as are the sprinklers. That's up to you.
Okay. And then in terms of conditions, while we're talking about it, it'll just be the ones we just went over, the standard ones that are in every resolution, which include anything that Mr. McVeigh went over as set forth in his report in terms of conditions. But the relief that the applicant is requesting is preliminary and final major site plan approval for the expansion and what's called a D2 variance for the expansion of the non-conforming use. That requires 5 out of 7 affirmative votes. And the testimony was the reason this is non-conforming is there is a residential aspect that was approved back in 1983. They're not expanding that, but since it's multi-use, the commercial aspect is expanding, so that kicks us into what we call the D2 expansion. The non-conforming use, and to satisfy that, you have to show what's held the positive and the negative criteria. Mr. Battistini, going over the positive criteria, hit on the general welfare, free flow of traffic, efficient use of land, aesthetic enhancements, and you have to, in terms of the negative criteria, the testimony was there could be no substantial detriment to the public good or substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. And as to site suitability, there's that added element of whether this site continues to be an appropriate site for this, appropriate location for this use. I don't know if I said too much or too little, but that's the relief we need. And we need a
motion. Buck.
Mr. Price?
Yeah, I think this is a good application. Obviously an iconic Ocean City boardwalk business and a very well-run business at that. I think it's nice to see they're putting this level of investment back into their business to help keep it running for many years in the future. So I
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Seeing the pictures, having been there many times, I've also blown away that they've managed to run it out of this space for that long. So kudos to the family for keeping it going this long. I think it's very fun.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Great addition, great design. Good enhancement to the board of appearance, so vote yes.
Mr. Buck?
Yes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time.
Same entity and is part of this lot, well, is part of this property, and that's another 40 feet beyond. That area is cleared, it is fenced in, there's a fence, you can see it in Mr. Maffei's reports.
Yeah, let's stop you there, let's acclimate the board. So, picture two in Mr. Maffei's reports, labels two. If everybody can look at that picture, you'll see the fence that's on the property. That fence is the one I described for the board.
That fence is basically at the end of that additional 40 feet. So what's unique about this application is we own the land right there. So it'd be, you're going to be putting a pool in a backyard where you're going to see 42 feet beyond the pool. So we're asking to move this pool 4 feet closer to the beach, but you're still going to have 42 feet beyond it. So you're never going to get the feel like, oh, geez, that fence is only 2 feet away from the pool. The fence is going to be all the way out at the end of the beach dune property line, as there's already a fence there now. The pool is just getting closer to that beach dune zone line. And because of the technicality of how the lot is done, the zoning officer would not allow us to move the pool closer. We'd love to have it as a zero lot line, but we thought 2 feet was reasonable, so we get ourselves 4 feet away from the building, the deck, which again we could be up against. But again, we wanted to get a little bit more space, a little bit more room around it. And it seems absolutely ridiculous when you can see on our plot plan, you're going to see a pool that's 42 feet away from the back of your property.
It's back toward every other house along this block. That's the same thing with their lot. They have their fence back.
All of them. I mean, the Fischels that are next door, they have like a beehive back there, ponds, all kinds of stuff. It's their backyard. They're going to use it like their backyard. And we're simply asking for the pool to be 2 feet closer to the designated zone line.
4 feet.
4 feet closer, excuse me, 2 feet from it. Excuse me.
So that's the only variance we're requesting tonight. It's very
accepted. Just for
the C variance?
Yes.
All right, and you mentioned already the fact this pool is still going to be 42 feet from the existing fence that's on the grass, correct?
That is correct.
And yes. You would consider these modest sized pools?
Absolutely. 10 by 16 is pretty modest.
All right. And we touched on it a little bit, but this is a better zoning alternative to have the pool position where it is closer to the
sure, it allows more space around the pool.
And also goes away from the structure.
Correct.
All right. So there's no safety concerns with the proposed position?
No.
You reviewed Mr. Maffei's report, you have no problem complying with
that? No, yes. All of our pool equipment is greater than 6 feet or greater from the side property lines, and they're noted on our plot plan as such.
No neighbors going to be impacted by this variance request?
No.
Not blocking anybody's view?
No, it's a hole.
Not reducing any light area or open space?
No.
All right. No safety problems that we didn't talk about?
No, none whatsoever.
All right. So, in your professional opinion, can variance be granted under the C2 or flexible standard?
Yes.
Would you agree that this satisfies the spirit and intent of the ordinance as pertains to the pools?
Yes, again, this is not like other applications that we've had in front of this board where we've asked, hey, can we move this pool 2 feet closer to the neighbor? The neighbor is us. We're our neighbor. We own that land. It's literally part of our backyard. We're 42 feet from the rear property line. Yes, I don't see how this is a detriment.
Right. And you've already testified this is a safer option to move this away from the house.
Absolutely, yes.
Any detriment whatsoever to the public good?
No. The public can't even see this thing. It's on an alley lot. They're going to bike by on a bicycle unless they're flying a helicopter over the property. They're not going to know it's there.
That's good. Any impairments to the intent purpose of the zone plan, zoning ordinance?
Again, none. We own that land. It's a technicality from the zoning officer that wants us to be 6 feet from the property bulkhead line. And again, that's a kind of an imaginary line in this case.
Those are all the questions I have, Mr. Bechtel. Have the rest of the moment.
Mr. Maffei.
Thank you, Chair. Report dated February 25th and 26th. I indicated that you're seeking approval to construct two excess in ground pools in the rear yard of 2904, 2906 Leslie Avenue. A 2,000 dwelling is currently under construction on the property. You're seeking variance for the minimum rear yard for the pool. Number two, just a correction on the zoning map to make sure the property is properly located. Just update the zoning chart, the lot area, pool equipment setback, provide a copy of the capital permit, and of course, no guarantees are required because there are no public improvements. And that's really it, Mr. Chair.
I emailed you a copy of the capital.
Yes, I did.
Okay. I thought you said provide it, but they did.
Do you have your DEP permit?
I'm sorry?
Do you have your DEP permit?
Yes.
I sent it to the board secretary.
I'll open the board for questions, Ms. Snyder.
No.
Becker.
No. Real quick. The fence closest to the beach, that would act as the fence keeping it. Don't need this two parcels in the middle.
We are splitting the parcels up in the middle because the backyards will be divided, but there will be the fence in the very back is where the end of the property line is, yes.
And that acts
yes.
Keeping it
correct.
Safe to the little kids.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they all have to have pool, compliant pool fences, yes, 100%.
So like
We'll get there. You good?
Yes.
Lowe?
The existing wood fence, is that going to change?
Yes. Yeah. New fence is going to be put up.
Good, Lowe?
That's it.
Mr. Gallagher?
So that lot that you're
encroaching onto the non-buildable lot.
Yes.
That it?
Yes.
Surprise?
Mr. Maffei, what are the permitted uses of this non-buildable lot, right? Obviously, we have grass here, so there's going to be irrigation here, there's going to be fencing here.
I don't believe...
It's a riparian lot.
Yeah, I don't think anything's really limited there.
Beach and dunes.
No, I'm looking at the plot plan. Looks like it has grass and fencing.
Yeah, because there's grass and fencing there now.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything you can do there, actually. That's in the beach. Then.
What do you mean, as far as
construction? Well, I'm just saying, look forward, you're not going to have any grass or fencing now.
There's going to be grass and fencing. There's not going to be, like,
a gazebo.
Or
no, I understand that. I mean, just in terms of fencing, like irrigation, whatever, that's not an issue.
It should not be an issue, no.
The CAFRA permit?
Yeah, I have a CAFRA permit. It's just to put in...
Okay, I'll show it to you.
The state believed that we could have...
The state actually has our building and the pool within 4 feet of the 40 feet beyond. This is our CAFRA permit, showing the buildable area for our building. The state could care less what we have in this space.
CAFRA
saying we could go all the way up there.
Stockyill DeLilly a little bit, please.
Yes.
Never understood that.
I'll get back to you on that.
That's all I
got. Mr. DeMarco.
I'm just confessing when you answered it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fence detail or no? I know it says 4 foot open, but do we need a fence detail?
It's part of the original application.
They already okayed it.
My recommendation, should this get approved, is that you be as specific as possible in relation to your beach and dune zone lot. I would not like to see Jessica take too much liberty in considering something an expansion in a zone that cannot take expansion.
Just to be clear, there was a pool on this property that had full zoning approval. Our clients wanted to push the pool further out.
I get that.
So that
I'm specifically speaking to the beach and dune zone.
Understood.
And we both know it's something you cannot build in and something you cannot expand in.
Correct.
So be as specific as you can with respect to what Ryan was hinting at with finishes in the beach and dune zone, so it's well established on paper what we were talking about and what we approved.
Yes, sir.
If we approved.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Is there a bulkhead?
No.
No bulkhead.
No, sir.
I have nothing. I'll open it to the public at this point. Anyone here wish to speak on this application? Seeing none, I'll close it. Summary.
So you need ask because of the fact that it doesn't really abut up against the lot, so to speak. It's not going to be a line or something, you know. I understand the board is very apprehensive about pool applications, and this one's a little bit different because of the fact that it's going to meet the spirit and intent of the ordinance, and you're not going to be disturbing any neighbor, and it's a better positioning because you're not having any.
Okay, this is a C variance application, majority vote. The variance requested is for the rear yard setback to the pool, the two pools, 6 feet requirement. They're at 2 feet. The C2 variance, the positives outweigh the negatives. In terms of the positives, the testimony was that this is really a better design alternative because it pulls the pool away from the structure, and then beyond the pool, there's approximately 42 feet to the beach dune zone, the fence that's on the edge of that property. The applicant owns that area. There's really nothing that ever be developed in there. It satisfies the spirit and intent of the ordinance. In terms of the negative criteria, whether it's a substantial detriment to the public good or to the zone plan or zoning ordinance, again, they said it really meets the spirit and intent of the ordinance. And as to the public good, it's really not going to be visible from the street. No one's really going to see that it's there. So that's pretty much the summary in terms of conditions. I just have the standard ones, which include anything in Mr. McFay's report.
Just revise our plans.
Yeah, revise your plans per Mr. McFay's
comments.
Yep. In terms of standard ones, I mean anything that Joe went over also.
Motion, Bob.
Mr. Price?
So typically, I would think that would be for using a tool 2 feet for setback, but I walked this property today and seeing where that current, you know, rear yard setback is, or that property line is, how much space is in front of it. I mean, and the fact that the owner owns the adjacent lot, the 2 feet that is going there really, I don't think is an issue in any way. I have no problem with this. I vote yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Echoing what Mr. Price said, yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Buck?
I'd say this application smacks of overdevelopment. I'm a no.
You missed what? I'll get back to
you. Please go.
It's Andrew and Avery again.
Take us out.
Or Avery and Andrew.
Ready, Mr. Chairman?
Yep, sure am.
Once again, for the record, Avery Tyler here on behalf of the applicant, the application of Paul and Barbara Krieger and John to narrow interior lot measuring 42.5 feet by 120 feet, located in the R250 zone, contains a older two-family dwelling in subterranean parking. The applicant seeking approval to construct a new two-family dwelling on the property. Variance to require a minimum lot width, maximum surface coverage, and maximum building coverage. However, as a result of the New Jersey Real Act, there is no height variance required for buildings with a cupola. Application was the first zoning board application filed in this year. It was filed prior to Governor Murphy's declaration instituting that real act into law. So those two variances are no longer necessary. The coverage variances stem from a 20-foot-wide gate called an easement area located on the east side of the property that contains approximately 850 square feet of pavement on the lot. The easement area acts as an alley for most of the homes on the block is impervious for its entire length. It's important for the board to note that the applicants did not have this easement area as part of their property. Impervious coverage variance would not be required. Unfortunately, the paved easement area prevents the applicants from complying with design incentives and the impervious coverage standard. However, the proposed new construction will reduce the existing impervious coverage almost 40% and remove the non-conforming parking setback, as well as providing 3 additional parking spaces. The requested variance is to be granted under the C1 standard as the problem is in existing narrow lot for environmental areas, resulting in undue hardship on the applicants. The bulk variances can also be granted under the C2 standard that multi-purpose zoning we achieved as a result of this project, including securing the property from flood, eliminating and reducing several existing non-conformities on the property, making the property safer, and promoting a much more desirable visual environment. Final buildings provide a new structure that is consistent with other properties that have been redeveloped in the neighborhood. Positive aspects of granting this application have any negative aspects. As a result of the testimony, I want to indicate that there is a substantial detriment to the public good. Granting the variance is not substantially compared to the intent or purpose of the zoning ordinance. The applicant's first witness is project architect, Mr. Bechtel.
Our new application, Mr. Bechtel, name and business address, please.
Andrew Bechtel, Thomas Bechtel, architect, engineers, and planners. Road,
okay, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth.
Yes, sir.
An architect and planner.
Thank you.
Accept his qualifications, obviously.
Yes, so this is in a R250 zone. We cannot change the fact that the lot is too narrow, so we have to come before you because of the narrowness of the lot. What's unique about this lot is the access way, alley, whatever you want to call it, but it's interesting because the access way is not an alley. It's not serviced by the town. It is a private road, and it is not to be deeded as any kind of public access whatsoever. So it could be debated that we do not even have alley access at this lot. However, the zoning officer, because of previous applications that have been before this board where this knowledge was not known to them, is calling this an alley access lot. That is why we need a coverage variance. We need a coverage variance for building coverage because we do not comply with the front one-third of the building being only 5 feet above grade or whatever is required by flood zoning. So the front section of the building, the westerly side of the building for the first floor unit, is not down low. We don't have it split. The second floor can be totally flat, but the first floor isn't low. And because of that, we do not comply with the design incentives. We did everything in our power to comply with the design incentives, but still make it flat. We created a porch on the front of the building, which you can see on the title sheet. We created stairs to that porch, which is again required. We have a screened garage space, which is also required, and we're providing street trees. The only thing we're not doing is we're not dropping this thing down lower. I have older clients that are building this home. They're not crazy about steps. Yes, we have elevators in the house, but they don't want to get in an elevator to go down to bed. They believe that this is a much better way to lay out for them. It's more comfortable, it's more convenient. It's smarter with the real rules that are in effect now anyway, where things are going to be up higher. And due to those real rules, our proposed structure is actually 4 inches shorter than it's allowed to be under the new regulations. That is why we need the coverage variance for the building coverage. The impervious coverage is a factor of the zone. The zone requires 55% impervious space. We're at 59.8% impervious. We did create pervious pavers the pervious pavers in the alley section, so we removed that, and we're down to literally only 5% over the impervious coverage that is required in the zone. This is a variance that every single project on this block has received that's been in front of this board. In some cases, they required a 72% impervious coverage on here. We created a recharge system to do such a thing to store some of the extra water. We believe that the reduction of 36+% of impervious is beneficial to everybody and is a very good alternative is a reasonable ask for a whopping 5% of impervious coverage for us, so we can have walkways down the side of our building and decks and porches and that kind of thing, which we believe is important for a beachfront or a pseudo beachfront home.
I want to go back to just the undersized lot width because I have to get this testimony in the record. 42.5 feet and 50 feet is required, correct?
Yes. If this was 45 feet, we wouldn't need that variance because we'd be within 90% of what's required. And if you're within 90%, we would have to be before you for the lot width.
And the properties on both sides are fully developed?
Fully developed, yes.
There's no adjacent land available for purchase?
No adjacent land for purchase.
So we have that. So then the other two variances, which you were explaining, building coverage and impervious coverage, are all C variances?
Yes, they are.
Can you describe for the board why we do not need the building height or cupola height variance?
Again, the real rules now say that we're measuring everything at 5 feet above base flood elevation. Base flood elevation here is 9 feet from sea level. 9 plus 5 is 14, 14 plus 30 is 44, and we're at 43.62 or something like that. So we are 4 inches under both on building height and now 4 inches under in cupola height.
So then what we're talking about here is building coverage, impervious coverage, and then you testified regarding this easement area on the property affects the entire lot, correct?
Yes, and interestingly enough, we're at the very end of that property. If you look at it, if you've been on the site, I'm sure you all have, and if you look at the Google Maps, you'll see that most of the time the people actually park at the end of that alley or that private right of way. They don't really pull even underneath the house because it's a subterranean parking space that floods out all the time. So that's another reason why we're doing this new construction. Even if we did a lift, the parking would be underground partially. So we'd rather remove the entire structure, fill in the hole underneath the building, and create 3 off-street parking spaces per unit because we're coming in front of you, quite frankly, where 2 would only be required if we hadn't come in front of the board.
The parking situation at the site is currently not conforming for a number of reasons, correct?
Yes.
All right, we have the sunken driveway carport, which we talked about.
Yes.
Under park, we don't have enough parking spaces now.
Correct.
All right, we're creating the 6 off-street parking spaces.
Yes, we are. Right.
And then just to go back to the zoning officer, so there really isn't an option to access this property
consider this a non-alley lot, yeah, then we could pull in off of West.
Correct, but if just as a by right, as a matter of course, going before the zoning officer, just to try and take a zoning permit, you can't get a zoning permit because she considers this an alley, correct?
That is correct,
yes. Right. So we have to access the property through this easement area, which is causing a lot of the consternation.
It makes it unique, yes. And again, the lot immediately to the south of this does not have any of that access, is not permitted to use any of that access. So that property, which is low, and I should note that there's 10 properties on this block. Of the 10, 6 currently are all raised, meaning they don't have a lower section in the front. The property immediately to the north of this is all raised. So the property to the south, when it gets redeveloped, and I'm sure it will get redeveloped, will be all raised. So the consistent height of the block is actually all raised structures on this property. So we don't believe that asking for the all raised first floor is unusual for the block when a majority of the block has an all raised setup already.
I know you weren't here for the last zoning board meeting, but it's very similar to the application that was brought in terms of having the floor on one level. It was brought last month. In your professional opinion as a professional planner, can these variances be granted under the C1 hardship zone?
Yes, obviously we don't have the width.
We don't have the width, that's number one. We also have this unique condition in that we have this easement area which is forcing us to access the property through that right-of-way rather than off of Wesley Avenue, correct?
That is correct. And again, that right-of-way, that private drive is, because it's private, doesn't allow for trash collection off of there and doesn't allow for any kind of snow plowing. So when people park, they're in.
And this created some design challenges and practical difficulties for you.
Absolutely.
In your professional opinion, can these variances also be granted under the C2 flexible standard?
Yes.
Right, let's talk about the purposes of zoning that are being met under this building. Obviously, you're securing the property from flooding and making it safer.
Yes, 100%.
The arrangement there is not safe. It's not, it's not conducive to flood protection. It's not really a good situation.
No, it is not.
We're reducing and we're eliminating a couple of existing non-conformities of property for most general welfare.
Absolutely. Again, you're almost 100% impervious coverage on this lot, and you have subterranean parking, which causes a problem. Basically, any water that does come on this lot goes into this base, into this subterranean garage space.
So reducing impervious coverage, you're going to provide gutters, you're eliminating a non-conforming condition there, and you're removing the parking setback issue, correct?
Yes, 100%.
You're increasing the number of parking spaces, correct?
Yes.
Provides for the freer flow of traffic?
Yes.
And creating a much more desirable visual environment?
We believe so, yes.
It would be a substantial detriment to the public good.
I don't see any. Again, this building will be, in this case, it will be 4 inches under the height. The building that will be built next door will actually be probably 1 foot 4 inches taller than this when it gets built, whenever that should happen.
Any substantial impairment to the intent for the zoning plan?
No. Again, the building directly next door is pretty much similar in footprint. Again, all raised, but we believe ours is more aesthetically pleasing on the front and certainly more aesthetically pleasing on the back.
All right, so it's your tax assessment of negative criteria and such?
Yes, sir.
There's all the questions that have to be asked.
Thank you, Mr. Mithak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Report is dated February 26th of 2026. Raising approval to demo the existing two-family dwelling and construct a new two-family dwelling. The new variance is forbidden lot width, building coverage, and maximum pervious coverage. There are some existing non-conformities. Lot width obviously is unchanged. Building coverage is increased. Maximum and pervious coverage is reduced. They are providing the gutters, so that's eliminated, and the parking setback is eliminated. The survey should be updated to identify the easement and correct the lot number. Street trees are proposed and on the approved list. Performance guarantee shall provide for all the public improvements along with inspection escrow. Of course, any additional plan revision and outside agency approval. And I believe we did receive the
capital permit is pending.
Yes, sir. Oh, I expect the plan just not approved.
I think that was for the other one, wasn't it?
Yes, that was for the other one.
Application. I think that's what I said. Notice of application. Did you submit that?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I got notice of application and they sent
it. Yeah,
I
think a copy of the
Yeah. Just
It's not approved.
Yes, it's
approved. Right. It was just a notice of application.
Was that it, Joe?
That's it, Mr. Chair.
I'll open it to the board for questions. Mr. DeMarco?
Yeah, I had a question. So the first thing you're saying, if that area land was, we this, the first thing you're saying,
so,
I just want you to explain to me so I understand what you're saying.
So we would have to be in front of you regardless because of the lot.
Okay.
Absolutely have to be. But some of this was the building coverage variance. Building coverage variance is required because we don't meet the design incentives, which require the Wesley Avenue side to be lower. It's to create that split into like why the reason why all the Asbury Avenue duplexes look the same.
Okay.
If we didn't have that right of way in the back side of the house, we would be able to be all raised, and we would pull our cars in through the front, and we would have a much easier time hitting the impervious coverage that we need to, and we'd have a much easier, we wouldn't require the building coverage. So we'd simply be here for lot width. We wouldn't be here for the two coverage variances. But because we have that right of way in the back, even though we are pervious pavering that thing, the way that we're doing the walkways down the side and that kind of stuff, we do have to ask for a whopping 4.8% impervious coverage variance on this property.
Mr. Bechtold, if we hit the design incentive milestones, the building coverage is 35%, is that correct?
That is correct, which is what is permitted. That's why we capped it at 35%.
Like you guys say it like it's permitted.
It's not permitted.
It's an if-then situation. So
yes, sir.
You can't say...
I said if the design incentives were hit, it's 35%.
If,
they're not hit.
If they were hit.
Correct. Well, that's important. That's what he asked.
If they were hit, you get an extra 10%.
Correct.
You're asking
correct.
For just the 10% without hitting.
I think I answered his question correctly.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You hit every design incentive with the exception of...
The front.
The front on the west of the Avenue side of the road.
Yes, sir.
And then the impervious. So I'm familiar with these properties. Our company's built two of them on this block. The impervious does not work because the right of way runs across the rear of the property where that driveway is, right?
That's part of it. But again, we did pervious pavers there to mitigate that because pervious pavers didn't exist back then. If you recall, on the Kelly Allen application that you and I did, that building, we did a 21.7 or 27.1% impervious coverage recharge system on it because of not only the concrete, but the decks and the walkways on the backside. Because if you remember, Kelly Allen has a very deep rear deck. So yes, those were required, but the 55% was always kind of a stretch for these R250 lots. So not only the alley, that's part of it, but it also just is the sheer amount of deck space on the buildings and the other walkways that are attributed. Remember, this is a deep lot, so you're going to have walkways that go further to the back side of the property, so those walkways count for 100 some odd square feet. We're approximately 227 square feet over in impervious coverage, which is fairly de minimis in my opinion.
It's the access, too. I mean, it's the same issue at 1821 and 1823. The access there, at that point, it's Ken, now it's Jessica, who's making the access through that area instead of access.
Well, I can either call them foyers or I can call them storage rooms and reduce them to 7'5", which is, again, a permitted thing to do. I just made it simple and call them foyer spaces. But if the board, obviously, we have to de-restrict that area. But if the board would like to see us call it storage rooms and say this, the head height in those spaces is 7'5", we're more than happy to do that.
Mr. Gallagher.
Hypothetically, if you wanted to hit the impervious coverage number, you're losing walkways from Wesley back?
Well, we could do that. We could. We believe the stairs are nice to have, but one of the things we could do to try to get that number is we could remove the stairwell, remove the walkways down both sides and the concrete platforms that are out in front of the doors, and just do access directly off the front of the building from Wesley Avenue. So we would eliminate the stairs to the front porch, and we just have access underneath and directly go into that foyer space. If that was something that the board would want to see, where we could get it down to exactly the 55%, that is potentially something we could do to reduce that. We would prefer to do a recharge system that would appease the board, but again, we believe
we understand it doesn't count.
We understand it doesn't count.
Well, it's not permitted by ordinance. It doesn't exist.
I would just jump in here and say if the board had actual teeth, they would say, cut the building back 10% and your impervious will be matching. But I suspect they're not going to have teeth, so I don't think there's any reason the horse trade stairs or anything. It's my opinion. Mr. Galler, anything else?
You answered my question. Thank you.
Mr. Lowe?
So, the last 20 feet of the lot, the pervious pavers, is that the right-of-way, or
yes.
The right-of-way is beyond that?
No, that's the right-of-way.
So you're cutting out the existing concrete in the right-of-way and changing it to the
yes,
pervious
sir.
Pavers?
Yes, sir.
So that is, for all the neighbors, it's owned by them as well, the right-of-way, so they could theoretically do the same thing and reduce impervious for the whole
thing. I think that would be a great idea, but yes.
Okay. And rooftop deck is shared?
Yes.
No other questions.
Mr. Becker?
Okay.
You good? It doesn't relate to the application. What's the genesis of the column location?
Parking. Parking is the whole reason why. Because we need to have three off-street parking spaces. I'm not allowed to park in the alley easement. So because of the requirement for three off-street parking spaces, I have to do the column placement the way it is so that I can fit the cars in properly.
So the issue is, if I had columns here and here, I couldn't get two cars next to each other there. So I have to do 1 foot, 9 foot column, parking, parking, column, parking, 1 foot. That's how it has to work to make it work. Yes, structure finesse.
I have nothing else.
Just to explain that driveway, the question you were saying. So you're going to cut out the existing concrete wire. Just to be clear, that hasn't been done on that stretch at all, right?
Maybe correct.
Nobody else has left it.
Correct.
You're going to cut out into it all the way across it until it hits the sand on the other side?
Until it hits the retaining wall that's on that side. You remember from the layout. So it's that's the area, that's the 20-foot wide access way, yes. Again, this was an option back when all that stuff happened. You know, if that was an option, we would have all explored it. If we knew that this wasn't technically any kind of dedicated alley, I think people would have talked to the zoning officer a little bit more about this, and you could have potentially pulled in off of Wesley, and then there wouldn't be this issue. You'd still have to go for width, but there wouldn't be the issue. And that would, respectfully to Mr. Buck's point, it's not an alley. Jessica's saying it's an alley, but it's not an alley.
You're also getting killed on building height.
Correct. So we'd be able to do our height from 9 feet
you
above.
You specifically would be a non-alley serviced less than 45-foot lot.
Correct.
You'd be plus 9, plus
correct.
30.
Correct. You'd be a 39-foot tall structure instead of what we are now.
You're giving up 3 feet of height.
Correct. So we believe that this is, again, now we're 4 inches less, and we're only asking for 5% of impervious coverage. If the lot was wider, we've gotten it to work. We did the house for Frank Varallo. That's, I think, adjacent to the house that you did at the very right to the north of it. We were able to make it work when we had a 5% restart. But you know, that's where we're at. This is a narrower lot. It's not 60-some-odd 100 square feet like the other lot was.
Right. And then the reason for not doing the split on the design
For my older clients, they've got bad knees, bad hips, that kind of thing, and hopping in an elevator every time I want to go to bed is kind of ridiculous. And this is, again, at the very end of this access way anyway. The building directly next door will be all raised.
Any questions?
Open it to the public. Anyone here wish to speak on this application? Seeing none, I'll close it. Summary.
It's a unique property. I've been involved in, this is the third one I've been involved in on the block. We've had these struggles with every single one. The 1821, 1823 property, that impervious coverage was in the 70 percentile. Obviously included the back area. Mike, you pointed something out that I didn't realize, but yeah, they're getting penalized because of the fact that they have this alley access.
I don't know why anybody would get hung up on the impervious. It's not really the aspect.
You know, a couple other stats. So
it's fine.
The front yard of the building is 2 feet greater than it could be. I mean, it's it could be 10. It's at 12.58. Both side yard setbacks are bigger than they should be. The rear yard of the building is almost 10 feet less than what it could be. They've reduced the impervious coverage by close to 40%. The building coverage is off by 5%. It's off by 10%, and if you meet your design incentives, it wouldn't be off at all.
Math is math.
Remember your words. Remember your words.
Just saying, math is math.
In any event.
I mean, you might as well lead out that there's zones in town where 60% is permittable. Okay?
There's zones in town where 60%, there's zones in town where building coverage is much greater than this. I mean, it's a very reasonable request for people that have owned this building for a very long time. They're getting up in years. They want to design something that's functional for them. It's a family house. It's not a developer. It's not a spec house. It's people that want to use their house and want to be able to be elevated and want to be able to have something functional that they can live in and utilize. And I think Andrew's done a pretty good job in terms of designing this so it meets all of those milestones for the people. I think that the variance requests are not egregious. I think Andrew's put enough testimony, there's been enough evidence entered regarding the property, its uniqueness, that would provide the board enough evidence and sufficient weight to grant these variances. We got the lot width variance, the impervious coverage variance, the building coverage variances. The impervious coverage is being reduced. The building coverage is only going up slightly. And you've heard the reasons why we can't meet the design incentives. For all those reasons, I think the board should grant the application. Thank you.
I just want clarification. It's not a right-of-way. It's an easement, correct? So no
It's not even an easement.
So it's not like no encroachment licenses required.
I was on the phone with Dottie today,
okay,
leading up to this, and her and I were going back and forth around and around.
But it's not a right-of-way.
It's not a right-of-way. Okay. It looks like it was part of a filed map from 1949.
Yeah.
And it says on here, road, hold on, for adjoiners, the road is 40 feet wide for the exclusive use of budding lots and is not a public road and is not to be dedicated.
I think Dan Young had an app on there.
So it's clear as mud.
Yeah.
So it's for adjoiners use only, and okay, it stops right at this property.
And Joe, I just want to confirm, are those trees conforming? It looks like there's too many trees in the front.
Too many trees?
Yeah, aren't they supposed to be like 25, 30 feet off?
They'll provide two conforming
trees. Two trees.
But I think is too many? I think
it's 20 to 25.
Yeah.
And the neighboring, so it's good with two. I mean, I'm thinking of just one because it's only 42 wide or something.
42, yeah. One's on one corner, the other one's a little further off, so it meets the requirement.
Okay. All right. I just want to make, because if not, then. And executive doesn't want to see
anything.
Anything. Okay.
So for the record, it looks like this was established in 1949, 30 of March 1949, when they did this plan. And that's the only thing I could find was the plan that was filed. It's not in the chain of title. Obviously, most of these are condominiums. So
it was intended as a private drive.
Correct.
I just want to make sure no encroachment license is required. So everybody kept saying right of way.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. Private drive.
Okay. Thank you.
Motion, Buck, or did I skip you, Leo?
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Okay, great. Motion, Buck.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'll be quick. C variance application. There's three C variances. The lot and applicants, there's a two-family dwelling on the property. The applicant's going to proposing to demolish that and construct a new one. Three variances are required for lot width, 42.5 feet, with 50 required. Building coverage, they're at 35%, or 25% is permitted. And impervious coverage, they're at 59.9%, or 55% is permitted. They've eliminated the height variances, and they're going to provide gutters and downspouts. The applicant this is, again, a C variance, positives versus the negatives. To establish the positives, you can do it one of two ways. The applicant has advanced a hardship, given the lot width and this private drive. Is kind of constricted the ability to develop the property in conformity with the zoning ordinance under the hardship standard and under the C2 standard. They've advanced several purposes of zoning that are advanced, flood compliance, promoting the general welfare, eliminating or making more conforming many of the non-conformities, free flow of traffic, decreased parking, aesthetic enhancement for a new dwelling, and in terms of negative criteria, any substantial detriment to the public good or zone plan or zoning ordinance. Again, they said it's consistent with that neighboring property, and it's nothing out of the ordinary to what has been developed.
And you want Mr. Maffei to
do
the cost estimate? Thank you.
And then standard conditions.
Second. Mr. Price?
I get the arguments on both sides of this one. For me personally, my company built a house probably about 7-8 years ago on this same block further down, 1805, 1807 Wesley. And it was for an elderly couple that wanted no stairs in their unit. And I know for them that was a game changer to not have anything in between. So if that's the only design set that doesn't meet, you know, I see the reasoning behind that. So for that reason, I'm going to vote yes.
Mr. Logue?
Usually for a two-family on an undersized lot, it'd be a hard no, but in this case, considering the limitations they're working within, and I think doing the pervious pavers on the beach side into the right-of-way or alley or whatever you're calling it, is a nice upgrade as well that hopefully the other neighbors will consider. All that being said, I'm a yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
No.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
I do see the hardships. I vote yes.
Mr. Buck?
I'm going to vote yes, but only because I think that the design incentives are an antiquated dinosaur of an ordinance that should be removed. Totally worthless.
Thank you.
Will we be restricting that or no?
They offered.
I know, Andrew said it.
They offered. I wouldn't ask for it.
We're not going to worry about it.
If it comes back with deed restrictions, it comes back with deed restrictions.
He said, obviously, we're going to have to deed restrict those areas.
Andrew, why did you say that? Why did you say, obviously, you have to deed restrict those areas?
Well, I believe we had to deed restrict anything that's on the grade level regardless.
Like non-conversion agreement type of thing?
Yeah.
If this went through by ordinance, would you have to deed restrict anything?
No. Okay, then we're not
going to.
I'm saying, if you have an 8-foot-high foyer on the ground floor, which you guys have everywhere.
Yes.
You don't have to deed restrict it.
Correct.
I'm not going to impose bullshit deed restrictions on stuff that was so through by ordinance.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
You're welcome. What was the end of the vote?